If you've got a YouTube Kids channel, you must be freaking out right about now. Yes, YouTube has released a new update to their policies and how they'll be handling kids content starting in January 2020. But what's actually going on? How will this affect your videos? How will this affect your revenue? How will this affect basically everything you do on YouTube? If you've got a kids channel and you want answers, this is the episode for you.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I am your host, a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day I help creators big and small understand their channel, understand their strategy, and get to that next level. So today we're dealing with something new, something bigger than the ad apocalypse where people lost some revenue from their ads. Today we're talking about kids channel and the complete change to the way YouTube handles that kind of content. YouTube was recently fined by the FTC $170 million for collecting data on young viewers and then targeting them with ads, something that the Child Online Privacy Protection Act clearly doesn't allow you to do. In turn, YouTube has released new policies, new documentation, new processes of how they're going to handle kids' content, and they've put it up in the form of a blog post. Now, the blog post had some information, of course, but it still was a little bit shaky, a little bit vague in some area. So we still need real answers. What's going on? We're fortunate enough to be able to speak to our good friend, Sean McNutt, who has spoken to the people at YouTube to understand what the changes are and how they will affect kids' content channel. Now, to be clear, Sean does not speak on behalf of YouTube. This is purely his interpretation of the conversation and what he has been told and the question that he has asked, and he's just sharing the conversation with us. Sean does not represent YouTube. Just want to be clear. Without further ado, let's dive in. Sean, welcome to Tube Talk.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So fun and games today as news is breaking and sweeping the world. Lots of changes with kids' content. Before we kind of dive into what's going on, do you want to give us a quick overview of the kind of channels that you manage and that you own?
Yeah, we have three family channels. The first channel we started 10 years ago called Cute Girls Hairstyles. My wife teaches moms and single dads, or basically mom and dads everywhere, how to do their young daughter's hair in less than 5 minutes. So it's kind of a time saver channel. We upload 2 vlogs a month on that channel. My twin daughters, Brooklyn and Bailey, have been on YouTube for 6 years now. They're very, very popular. Some of the top influencers on YouTube. They create lifestyle content and they're now in college. So they're aging up their content from what used to be high school to now college age content. Mm-hmm. And then we have another daughter, Camry Noel, who is in high school and she does like photography and some lifestyle content on her channel. We have 3 additional channels that we own, but do not actually create content for as a family. We have independent contractors who upload to those channels. One of those 3 is actually a kids channel that is affected by this new policy. 4 of the channels are over 1 million. Total, we're at 15.5 million subscribers and about 2.6 billion views.
Now, YouTube says, okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you are making contents to do with kids, we have to talk. Tell me what's happening. What's going on?
Well, before we can really identify what's going on and really, who should really be angry and so forth, we have to think of YouTube for what it actually was, the intent of the platform. It's not an entertainment company. We as creators are, quote unquote, the entertainment company. YouTube is a software platform that hosts that content, right? And it has always been an age 13 and over platform. So in order to create an account or a YouTube channel, you have to certify and state that I'm over the age of 13. So it was never intended to be a place where kids were going to consume content, right? So this new issue has kind of arisen, over the past, I'd say 8 years or maybe really even 7 years, about eight years. Toy unboxing channels were kind of the first really foray into kids' content on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And they really took off and everybody was me too. I want one. And then there was the superhero genre. And then there was the Frozen, Elsa, Spider-Man genre. And then a plethora of family bloggers mixed in throughout those 8 years. Right.
Right.
But I think that content type that was never intended to be hosted on YouTube and consumed on YouTube grew to probably, my guess, my estimate is about 33% of views were coming from younger kids under the age of 13 consuming content on the main YouTube platform. And YouTube's attempt to try and create YouTube Kids as an off, you know, standalone app was great. It's not a perfect solution, but it just seemed easier for parents to just hand over their phone to a YouTube that they're currently logged in on using their profile, and kids were watching videos. And because of the suggestion algorithm that YouTube puts in place, kids were being deviated from Peppa the Pig to content that wasn't necessarily appropriate for children of that age.
Those who don't know, there is a YouTube Kids app that's highly curated. The criteria as a creator to fit into that is so specific. In fact, most people actually don't qualify. Now things have changed. I mean, we've seen live streams of Peppa Pig being streamed for 24 hours. Is this who the intended audience that YouTube is kind of saying, look, we need to talk?
Yes, I believe so. It's not that it isn't a bad actor thing per se. This issue that we're dealing with right now, you know, some of the advertiser issues we've had in the past that have been in the press, yes, that's been because actors have been in there manipulating the algorithm and creating content that wasn't intended to be for children. This has to do with data collection, through cookies and viewer behavior, that the FTC has an issue with YouTube collecting that data, presuming that it is an adult because it was created by an adult. They have to certify that they're over the age of, or not an adult, but over the age of 13, you know what I mean. But this content, the viewing behavior on certain accounts, I think was pretty clear to, you know, a lot of people that there were children using parents' accounts. And that's where the FTC had a problem, was that knowing that children were consuming content on the platform, and then YouTube was using that viewer behavior to serve targeted ads. And that's what the system does, right? It's not something someone's consciously doing. It's programmed to do that. Mm-hmm. And so there was a sharing of data from kids under the age of 13 happening, where advertisers and ads were being served based on targeted data that were provided by kids under the age of 13. That's why we're in this situation.
And that's the crux of this matter. It's all to do with tracking and ads, essentially. Personalized ads.
Yes, because, there's, you know, pretty staunch laws, COPPA laws, to protect children from, you know, advertisements, and, you know, kids are delicate. This is more of a parent issue than it really is a YouTube issue or even a government issue. We're in this situation because of parents, and also as creators, we have a responsibility to, now knowing what the playing field is, to not put, quote unquote, the software company that is hosting our content, since we're the media creators, we're the media companies, that, you know, it's not YouTube's fault per se. Yes, there's some things they could have done earlier, but this really is a parent issue. We should not be handing an iPad logged into YouTube proper to our children just because there's a Peppa Pig video there, assuming that all they're going to watch is Peppa Pig or Snoopy or, you know, Looney Tunes or whatever it may be. That's not the way the program was intended. That's not the way the algorithm works.
So now let's put a creator hat on. I have a kids channel. I've put lots of quality and educational videos. I spent lots of time with my animators. What's going to happen to my channel? It's targeted specifically at under 13s.
You know, it's really sad because, yeah, this has affected me. Fortunately, I didn't put a lot of money and resources and time into our kids channel. So having lost the monetization on that and the engagement ability through that channel isn't really affecting me. If I had invested a lot more time and money, it would be really, really hard for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I would struggle with this decision, particularly because I know the content I create is safe for kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I also kind of have to look at it as, okay, that content was never really meant to be on YouTube proper, you know? So it's almost kind of like, for the past 7 years, every time I do the laundry, I've been finding money in the pocket of those pants, right? It was never really supposed to be there, but, you know, it was a benefit to me and I'm grateful to it. But the point that I become expected that every week when I do my laundry, there's going to be money in that pocket. Mm. And then all of a sudden it isn't. I can't be mad at the washer. I can't be mad at the pants. I was lucky to have that money all that time. So, I mean, that's an oversimplified way of saying it really stinks to be in this situation and you should be grateful for what you have had during that time. But the platform was never meant to host that kind of content because of the target audience.
Right.
So it was almost like we played with house money. Now, you know, the system is correcting itself. The pendulum is coming back to where it should have been originally. And as a creator like that is trying to figure out, you know, the content is still good. Where do we put it now where we can get the maximum monetization, right? Because the option on YouTube proper is not going to be there. So right. I believe, you know, from what I understand, YouTube negotiated pretty heavily with the government, who wanted to implement an immediate, you know, implementation of this policy. YouTube was able to get that negotiated to 4 months, which allows the partner managers and basically the community of creators to work together to figure out how do we, you know, what are we doing with this content type?
Right.
You know, there'll be, I think, a more concerted effort on YouTube Kids. YouTube has created their own version of YouTube on desktop for YouTube, you know, like a YouTube proper, but only for kids, where this content can be hosted. I think the problem for a lot of creators are that the monetization will not be there immediately like it has been on YouTube proper.
We're not talking about little bits of money. I mean, some people have made entire businesses out of this, entire companies. They've got staff, they've got offices, they've got multiple channels bringing in multiple six-figure incomes per month from these kids' channel. This is going to go from that, I would assume, to probably virtually zero in a couple of months.
It is. And so that's the other thing I think it's important for people to understand. It's easy to think, okay, YouTube's the big bad bully here,
right? You know,
because the government said, oh, you're doing this. And YouTube's like, well, we're just going to make the creators pay for this. But think about if what I'm saying is true and roughly 33% of views on YouTube are coming from children under the age of 13 consuming gaming content and kids content and toy unboxing and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
YouTube has a split with the creators of 55-45. You know, they're losing 45% of that huge chunk of views per month. So so their revenue is being hit too. This wasn't an easy decision,
right,
you know, by YouTube to do this.
That's a good point, because not only the creators get hit because YouTube is not paying them as much anymore, but YouTube isn't being paid either. So everybody takes a hit. It's a good for the kids. I mean, we want to be clear. It's
correct.
You have to protect the kids. That's non-negotiable.
That's number one.
So this is just basically systems put in place to help do that. The question is, how do we deal now with the situation that we find ourselves in? And I like your example of we've been living on borrowed time anyway. Mm-hmm. If you've had kids' channels, you know that it's 13 and above, but you've been making content of Peppa Pig. You knew that you were playing with fire when you started this.
Correct.
Did they tell you kind of what the implications will be? Like, is there a new processing? You have to self-select your content when you upload it in the future?
Yeah, that will be happening in the next coming months. Obviously, before January 1st, I think they'll be putting that in place. Currently, there's a beta for channels that have to self-certify against, you know, vulgarity, violence, sexual content, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
More for safety for children, but also to make sure YouTube understands, you know, what is this video about?
Right.
So they know how to rate it. That was a self-certification. And there's a trust algorithm that goes against that, meaning I can certify that my content is safe for all audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And then YouTube has its own algorithm that goes in and tries, you know, it knows what's in my video. It's using Google Vision. It can tell whether that matches how I certified and so forth. And over time, I can earn trust in the algorithm, which also helps me in my growth, right?
Right.
All they're going to be doing is adding one more line in there that says, is this piece of content targeted to children under the age of 13? So, you know, whether or not we click that box determines, you know, and the verification through the algorithm, how much trust we're gaining. It also, I read yesterday through all this, there's a lot of press going on.
Yes.
That the FTC has actually made a statement that by YouTube implementing this self-certification, and if a creator goes out and intentionally creates content for younger kids and certifies that it is not for children under the age of 13, just simply to bypass the policy and make the higher CPMs on YouTube proper, that opens up that content creator for exposure to the FTC, that they can call out full force on that content creator. That's actually scary to me to hear that.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, YouTube has put enough in place now to protect those children that if I myself, as quote unquote the media company, uses the software platform to target children under 13 when it wasn't meant to be, the FTC can now come against me directly.
Wow. Well, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yes, correct.
At the end of the day, it's facing the FTC is very different than getting a community strike against your channel.
Correct. I mean, or even losing your own monetization on that channel. You're talking,
right,
you know, penalties and fines and potential prison and court and legal. I mean, that's
absolutely,
it's not something to play with.
Now, it's all about the under 13. So it's all about the intention of the content creator as well. Like Brooklyn and Bailey, when they make their content, their intent is to talk to other teenagers, to other college going kids. their intention isn't to target little kids.
Correct.
Now, what happens if little kids do watch that your channels because they love them and they're awesome? What happens then? Is it still your responsibility?
Well, I mean, as a content creator, you can't really control who watches your content, but the theme and the dialogue and how you age it up or down right. can actually lead to what your intent really is with the piece of content. So, you know, if I'm creating a skit and it's a, you know, aged down and kind of nursery rhyme-ish, even though I have my teenagers on screen doing it, that is likely going to be consumed more by kids who can relate or like that, which would be under the age of 13, than those that are over 13, right? And that poses an issue because, you know, it's not like I have minors under the age of 13 on right. screen, but the content type pretty clearly suggests that I'm trying to entertain that demographic. That yes. would technically fall under the new policy.
PewDiePie is playing Minecraft exclusively now, but nobody can say PewDiePie is a kid's channel. His Correct. Intention isn't to go after the kid's audience. Mm-hmm. So, which kind of, I suppose, leads me to the family vlogger situations where we know lots of family vloggers who've got all the kids in the videos. The fact that the kids are in the video doesn't make it 13 and below.
Correct. Yeah, going back to the first part of that question with like PewDiePie and Minecraft, I actually asked that question specifically when I talked to YouTube yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking very early in the morning. I was one of the first creators spoken to just right. because of the connections that I have with other large channels. And they knew that I could probably help communicate, help, you know, give some advice to them. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned like, you know, so where is that line really drawn there when it comes to, you know, if I'm over the age of 13, but my content kind of ages down, or if I'm aging content down, but the primary viewer is over the age of 13, how does that work? And I mentioned specifically the DIY slime yes. and Minecraft, because those are two in the female and male demographic that kind of, you know, I think kind of bridge that somewhere. How do you draw a line in there? And it's not as clear cut as I think even what Susan put out in her blog post or the letter. Mm-hmm. Then that they have to look at that on a deeper level. Like for example, you know, slime videos made by many adults and a lot of teenagers, you know, make slime, but it seems like that younger generation were the ones that really grabbed a hold of it. Right.
Yes.
And so I think they're kind of looking at, okay, what was the intent of the creator? Are they clearly targeting kids? And then what percentage of their overall audience clearly is under the age of 13? And then somehow there's whole, you know, calculation there trying to verify whether or not that is a channel or a piece of content that, you know, puts kids at risk. So it wasn't as clear cut when it came to trying to draw a line in the sand. That's something I'm glad I don't have to do, but YouTube has to do that.
Well, yeah, because I mean, if you extend it to things like skits or you extend it to DIY, like 5-minute yeah. crafts, you could argue that they're aimed at kids who are going to do crafts at home during the school vacation, but they have to do it with an adult to supervise. So it's not black Correct. And white. This is Correct. Very gray area.
Yeah, the areas that were very specifically called out, at least when I was talking to, like, you know, skits where, you know, kids are in role play costumes,
right.
you know, animated cartoon, clearly directed at children, toy unboxing, stuff like that that's very clear cut is going to fall under this new policy. The stuff like Minecraft and DIY and vloggers is different, right? Because yeah. it can go either way. And so those have to be looked at more. And there's a lot of criteria they look at, some classifiers that they put in place to try and determine if a channel falls above or below that line. And, you know, obviously one of the first classifiers is what type of content is created and who does it target? Right. That tells a lot, right? I can right. say I target teenagers, but if I'm making a video of Peppa Pig, teenagers aren't watching Peppa Pig, right?
Right.
Then one of the next classifiers is the on-screen talent under the age of 13, the primary talent on screen. If they're mm-hmm. under the age of 13, it's very likely other kids that age or younger are going to identify with them as opposed to an older teenager or somebody in their 20s or an adult, right? So those are two of the classifiers. I don't know what all the others are. They all kind of go together to sift through the channels to try and verify who has maximum exposure to minimal to no exposure when it comes to putting this policy in place.
Yikes. And recently, kids' channels have already had things like comments disabled. So all of that will continue. Do you think things like the community tab and live streaming comments, are those going to follow suit as well? Will there be
yes. disabled on these kids' channels? Yes, they will. I mean, primarily those were done in the past because of child safety and predators, yes. you know, yes. not wanting to contribute to conversations on the channel, you know, to pedophilia and things like that. This goes a little bit different on this aspect. It's you know, if a channel falls under this category, then any engagement interaction ability on that video or channel, if the channel is cast as one of these channels' primary target, or if a video is primary targeting children at the age of 13, those engagement aspects will be turned off. So there won't be an ability to playlist. Notifications will not go out. The community tab will disappear. Comments will remain turned off. Those types of things will not be allowed, principally because the algorithm looks at those things to determine whether or not it's going to suggest to more people. And yes, if they don't want children's content on there, the algorithm can't really be promoting it.
So essentially, no velocity. You're going to have a really hard time getting those views, especially without the ads, and not going to be suggested. Those kids' channels are really, really going to struggle, not just financially because there's not enough ad revenue, but even those views that they were expecting to get, they're also going to take a large hit, it seems.
I would imagine. I mean, YouTube didn't tell me that they're going to turn off suggested or stop the browse feature. You know, the only way you can see a video would be if you directly type in the channel or, you know, right, specific keyword terms. They didn't say that to me. I can only assume when they were telling me that these engagement aspects would be turned off for those videos or channels, that would then affect its ability to be promoted, you know, through the search and discovery.
Yikes. So should a channel be pivoting? I mean, they got 4 months because this is going live on January, yeah, I believe, right?
So I did talk to them. That was part of the reason why they negotiated hard for the 4 months. Actually, there are various aspects of it to it. I believe some of it may have been they've got contracts they got to fulfill with advertisers through the holidays. I think that may have been part of it. I mean, I'm not dumb. They have shareholders. They have, you know, they have to, you know, hold in regard. And but I also believe they were doing it for the creators because they know these creators have teams. They have employees who have families. You know, this is their job. You know, turning that off overnight would just, you know, YouTube was going to bat for the creators when it came to this. I think primarily it was for the creators. To allow 4 months time to evaluate the channels, because there are channels that will be able to pivot. You know, their content is, you know, on that line, but not clearly under that line.
Right.
It's going to be easier to pivot. I think a younger kids channel may have a harder time pivoting just because the audience that they've accumulated are likely those younger kids. So, you know, creating different content for that audience probably isn't going to be as successful, but I can't see that for sure. But I also believe in that 4 month period, it's trying to figure out, okay, we're going to push this content to YouTube Kids desktop and YouTube Kids app. So now parents, hand your iPad to your kid, just do it through the YouTube Kids app. Well, that's not a perfect solution. YouTube Kids app has had its issues, but it's a much more controlled environment than what YouTube proper was, right? So I think these four months are going to be a lot of solutions trying to be put in play. And, you know, I think YouTube would have rather had more like 6 months or a year to do this, but they didn't have that luxury. So it's trying to figure out where do we put this content and how can we help monetize it in a way that can help these creators who have built businesses, you know, on this and have employees. They've implemented $100 million fund.
Yes.
For some of these larger creators that have been affected that have high production quality and so forth to build kind of like their own version of YouTube Originals for YouTube Kids. But in my opinion, $100 million doesn't really go a long way when you look at some of the sizes of these channels.
Correct.
I think it was something that YouTube could quickly pull out and it was going to help. And there's been no guidelines on really how that's going to be administered. It was just announced really over the weekend. But YouTube's trying its best way to figure out how it can help creators monetize their content since that at that target-based ads, interest-based ads on YouTube proper for content aimed at children under the age of 13 will be going away. And I estimate, just on my own calculations, that can be up to 85% of a channel's AdSense. You know, because you can still have Google Preferred or somebody who specifically wants to advertise on that channel. Those will still happen, but it's the interest-based ads that will be going away.
So if you're starting out at kids channels or you were thinking of jumping in on this kids channel bandwagon, you should be rethinking your entire strategy at this stage.
Absolutely. I think there's a place for kids content online. It just it grew in on the part of the platform it was never intended to grow on.
Right.
And there's an auto correction happening now, you know, based on, you know, what's been in the press and what's happened with kids in the past and the content and the bad actors and so forth. We just don't have, there's not a perfect solution right now. YouTube's trying to make YouTube Kids that perfect solution.
And assuming that they'll now develop a lot of like focus a lot of time and effort and money into making it much better than just a little spin-off because of how popular it actually has been.
I absolutely believe that. I mean, you look at kids programming on TV on Disney and Nickelodeon, right. There's a lot of advertisements going on there, but those are controlled environments. So the media companies have legal teams that are reviewing every piece of content that goes on air to make sure they're complying with all the rules and regulations when it comes to minors in terms of advertising and viewership and the actors on set, right? We as content creators who are the media companies on YouTube have not been under that standard before, right? So within YouTube Kids, I think YouTube's going to make that a safer platform for kids to be able to watch and consume content. And I think they want to try and make it somewhat palatable or you know, bring advertisers in that specifically want to advertise, you know, Kellogg's, you know, Honeycrisp or whatever it may be, Nesquik or Lego or Mattel, right? That they can advertise against that content within the Kids app. I don't know if the CPMs will reach the levels they have on YouTube proper, just because YouTube proper was meant for an adult audience. It's different when you're advertising to kids. So CPMs tend to be lower, but I think YouTube's going to make an effort within their Google ad sales team to try and boost monetization within that kids sector.
Sure. Hard pill to swallow, but it has to be done. And I think for those that are, you know, venting their frustration, which is understandable, this is one thing we just have to accept as going to happen.
Correct. Sure. I think some of the bigger creators that, you know, after the first adpocalypse and some of the ad issues that have happened in children's safety have seen a little bit of the writing on the wall. Like I myself had seen it after that first adpocalypse. I'm like, I don't know if I want to invest a ton in here because it could go away so quickly. Like it did for many people back then. And so we pulled back the reins on our kids' channel. And I know a lot of big creators were looking for other venues to place that content. So some of them created their own standalone apps, you know, where a parent can, you know, pull up, you know, this nursery rhyme channels app and just hand that to their child. And it's a completely controlled environment. Only their content can be viewed there. And that child just watches it over and over. You know, there may be some subscription model to that. I mean, so there's plenty of people that have pivoted in that aspect of where can I put my content that doesn't put me at risk. But unfortunately, some really good friends of mine, big popular kids channels are being affected by this. And it's sad. I mean, it's sad. I really hurt for them.
Yep, absolutely. And now they have to make other arrangements because they are not just supporting themselves in this, but these other families involved, these are real people. Any business can not take a hit of 80 to 90% of their revenue in such a small period of time. So it's just, what do you do?
One more thing I wanted to bring up, just because it's in the press, I thought it was really interesting that the fine was only $170 million for something like data collection against children who are under the age of 13. And the only reason why I can think, because you had to look at Facebook's fine, it was like, you know, I don't remember, $5 billion or whatever it was. You know, that this just seems like a drop in the bucket for Google. But I think when you look at kind of what happened there, like, was their intent? Like, YouTube's platform was built for a plus 13 age audience, and you have to certify that when you create an account. So clearly we know kids are consuming content there, but why is it YouTube's responsibility at that point to say, oh no, this is a kid watching this, when there was a certification stating I'm over the age of 13, right? It wasn't as clear cut of a, clearly they were collecting data on under 13 year old kids on purpose and making money off of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Based upon their roster, they're looking at that, I would assume at least 85% of all those kids viewing accounts were created by adults who were just letting their kids use their account, right? So I think that's the reason why it wasn't much larger, because it's hard to really say. And actually, they're asking YouTube now to look at the data of viewing pattern to determine whether or not that adult created account really is a kid. And by virtue, the government's asking YouTube to collect data from that 13-year-old to determine whether or not under 13-year-old is actually watching. I think that's really funny that's where we're at.
We've gone complete circle.
Yeah. The government's asking YouTube to collect data on these users to determine whether or not they're actually under the age of 13, even though the original creator of the account certified they were over 13.
And whether we actually allowed, therefore, to collect data on this person that you've just asked me to collect the data on.
Yeah, pretty ironic.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's never a dull moment on YouTube. Let's put it that way. Sean, people want to check out some of your channels. For those who don't know, where can people check you guys out?
You bet. We have our main channel, Cute Girls Hairstyles, and our daughters, Brooklyn and Bailey, and our third daughter, Camry Noel. Those are the names of their channels. All three of them, you just type them in. You can find them. We do not target children under the age of 13. Fortunately, I'm really grateful that we never did. But I definitely, my thoughts and prayers and all the vibes that I have in me are going towards those people that are affected and their teams. Yep. To find a way to, you know, work through this and continue just in a different way.
Yep. YouTube is a very close-knit community. And when something like this happens, it really, really does affect everyone else. But this is a big one. This isn't an adpocalypse where you've lost a little bit of revenue. This is literally life-changing. So, yes, I echo that sentiment. We know a lot of these creators personally, and we know it's good, wholesome content. But they're in the same brush as everybody else, and they just have to deal. All right. Thank you for spending some time with us, really kind of getting to the heart of this since you've had it firsthand. It's just kind of just shedding a little bit of light of what we can expect. This should be a red flag on any other platform too, because this could just be the precedent for other platforms to follow suit as well.
Totally agree. I don't think there's a place online that these creators can flee to where they're going to make money without this same issue coming to light.
Absolutely. So be smart, make smart choices, and let's protect our kids at all costs. That's the bottom line.
Agree.
And if you guys know of anyone who's potentially might be affected by the self-certifications, maybe YouTube hasn't reached out to them, maybe they're not a big channel, but they're looking to go in this direction, please share this episode with them. Let's get them educated so they know what to expect and what's coming. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Appreciate you guys subscribing to the podcast, leaving us reviews, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Tube Talk.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/TubeTalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.